Well, if you've been involved in one of the summer ministry fellowships, or if you've watched the videos on YouTube and gone along with them, you'll know that I told you the story one of these weeks about the atheist who was fishing. And he's fishing one day, and all of a sudden, he is attacked by the Loch Ness Monster. In one easy flip, the beast tossed him and his boat high into the air, and the Loch Ness Monster opened its mouth to swallow him, and then everything froze. He froze in midair. And the man cries out, "Oh my God, help me!" And as the atheist hung in midair, a booming voice came down from the clouds. "I thought you didn't believe in me. Come on, God, give me a break," the man pleaded. "2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster either." Okay, all right, so we're going to... So when you're in a crisis, what should you ask God? Difficult times, what should you ask God? Now, there are many kinds of crises that we'll experience. There are different degrees of crisis and reasons for crisis. But whatever it is, what should you ask God? Well, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 56 that answers that question. What do I ask God in a crisis? So turn with me to Psalm 56. Psalm 56, and when you arrive at it, we will read the entirety of this psalm. Psalm 56, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest or twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God I have put my, or have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Now, what should you do in a time of crisis? Well, this psalm answers the question with three great requests to ask the Lord when you're in a time of crisis. We'll pray and ask God to speak to us from the preaching of his word. So, Lord Jesus, we come. You are the living word, have given us the written word, inspired and guided by the Holy Spirit, so that this psalmist, as did all the other human authors, wrote the very words that expressed your mind and your heart. And now as we open these words, it is our prayer, Lord God, that you would speak to us from it, that the reality of your truth will become transformational for us. And so we ask this to be so, and we pray it yielded to the work of the Holy Spirit and his filling, I as a preacher, and all of us to hear your word and hear from you. Amen. Well, what's the first request when you're in a crisis? The first request that the psalmist makes is, "Lord, be merciful to me." And the psalmist in this psalm As David cries out to God for mercy, you'll find that there are three reasons, but you'll find that the reasons for which David cried out for mercy are reasons for which you and I also can cry out to mercy. Remember that mercy is when God withholds what I deserve. Oh, be merciful because of my foolish and faithless decisions. Now look at the subtitle here. You look at the subtitle, and the subtitle tells us this: to the chief musician upon Yonath Elam Rekokim, Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. Now, this tells us about the context of the psalm. You'll see it's when the Philistines took David in Gath. And so remember, of course, God had chosen David to be the successor to Saul. Saul had turned his heart away from the Lord, and he chose David, a man after God's own heart. And over time, it became very evident that the hand of God was upon David and that he would be the one to replace Saul. And oh, Saul despised David. In fact, he tried to kill David. And after the third time of trying to kill David, David said, "Boy, I better get out of here." And he flees away from Saul. He spent, I think it was 13 years running from Saul after that. Don't hold me to that. I may be wrong in that number. He spends these years running. And he leaves so quickly, he doesn't have any food. He doesn't have any weapon to defend himself. And so he goes to Nob. And there is where the tabernacle is. And he goes to the priest of Nob, and the priest says, "Oh, we have some bread from the table of showbread. You can have that to eat. And we have Goliath's sword. You can have that to protect yourself." And so David takes the bread and the sword, and he flees. And he flees the land of Israel, the place of God's protection and blessing. And of all the places he goes, guess where he goes? He goes to the land of the Philistines. Now hold on a second. The Philistines? That's the enemy. The arch enemy. And he flees to the Philistines. How many of you think that's probably not a very wise decision? And not only that, of all the places he flees in the land of Philistia, which city do you think he goes to? Yeah, he goes to Gath. Now, how many of you think that's not very smart? You are the arch enemy of the Philistines. You go to Goliath's hometown and you're carrying Goliath's sword. How many of you think that's not very wise? Pretty foolish. In fact, when he's there, he makes himself to be a wild man, a madman, an insane man. And acts the fool in self-preservation. And so while David is living in this Philistine city of Gath, in the midst of the enemy, he pens this song. Beside the context of the song, you'll notice the tune. The tune is has a great tune. The tune is entitled Yonath Elam Rekokim. That's a great tune. I remember when I was learning to play the horn as a kid, and they had these books, and you all that learn to play instruments have these method books, and they start with the basics, and as you progress, you improve, and the next thing you know, you're just playing that horn like it's nobody's business. But I remember along the way, and there's a song, and it's called Homburg. And I worked my way through the tune Homburg, and I sputtered and fussed, and eventually I made it through Homburg, but I eventually played it at least close enough to realize, hey, I've heard this tune before. And I realized that at church I heard this tune. It's the tune When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. The name of the song is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, but the tune on which you play it is Homburg. And so we don't know the name of this tune, but in David's day, he knew the name of the tune. And for the Hebrew hymnal, the people there knew the name of the tune. And David tells us this is the name of the tune, but it is interesting. Do you know what the name of this tune means? The name of this tune means the silent dove in distant lands. And isn't that where David is? He's the silent dove, weak and vulnerable, far away from home, surrounded by the enemy. And then there's something else that the subtitle tells us. The subtitle tells us as well about the text of the psalm. This is a miktam of David. There are six psalms that are called miktam psalms. Psalm 16 and then Psalms 56 through 60. And this is the first of the grouping. And each of these psalms has to do with a story that is significant. Miktam means to engrave. And so this is a permanent record of what God showed the psalmist in spite of the foolish and faithless decision that he made. How many of you have ever made a foolish and faithless decision? Sure. You're under stress, you're in a time of crisis. And rather than trusting God, you make a decision that in time you realize that it wasn't very wise, and you say, oh, what have I done? And that's why you need to call out to mercy, call out to God for mercy. God, don't give me what I deserve in spite of my foolish and faithful decision. And so this is for all of us a warning. Be careful when you're in a time of crisis, because you could make a foolish and faithless decision. But at the same time, it's an encouragement that God is a God that many times, in spite of us, gives mercy. Well, that's the first reason to ask God for mercy. Here's the second reason. Ask God for mercy because of my foes. And here he is. It's almost as though, in one sense, he's a prisoner in this city. And you can understand his request as he prays verse 1 and verse 2, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. And with the intense danger that David faced, in part because of his own foolish and faithless decision, he has his spirits lifted in faith, and he calls out to God with an unusual name. He calls to God in these words, O God, most high. Now, usually, the name translated most high is Elyon. But this time, the Hebrew term translated, or Hebrew name translated most high, is Merim. This is God who is the highly or lofty and exalted one. And David is living with enemies that now they have their arch enemy living in their midst. He's acting like a fool. He's acting like an insane man. And they are lifting themselves up. We have him. But he asks God to lift himself above even those who have lifted themselves above David. And then there's one more reason that David calls out to God for mercy. And you may find this to be true as well. Lord, be merciful because of my fears. And we read these words in verse 3 and then verse 4. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. What are your fears? We all have fears. Now, you probably don't have Philistine fears. You better believe you have fears. How do you overcome fears? Well, David tells us how he overcame fears, and you'll find it helpful for you as well, because God overcomes my fears when I put my trust in who he is. I will put my trust in who God is. So I'll say again, in God will I put my trust. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He goes back to the nature of God and puts his trust in God. What do you know about God? What does God reveal about his character? Because in those times of stress and those times of pressure, I renew my mind when I go back to the fact that this is who my God is. My God is omniscient. He has not lost track of me in the midst of this. No, he knows exactly where I am. He knows what my needs are better than I know my own needs. My God is true. My God is faithful. And you think of all that God is, and all that God is true for me, even in this time that is a time where I'm fearful. And I realign my thinking to line up with God's character, and it gives me hope and confidence in the midst of my fears. And then God overcomes my fears when I put my trust in what he has said. So you read again these words, and God, I will praise his word. Now, when David wrote this, he didn't have a whole lot of the scriptures. What did he have? Let's see. He had the Pentateuch. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He had Joshua. He had Judges. He had Job. Now, that's not a whole lot of scripture. And how many of you turn to the Pentateuch when you need help and comfort? A little bit of Leviticus. Whew. That'll lift your soul. Leviticus. But with the scriptures that God provided, there was enough for him to say, you know what? God's word is where I'm going to turn when I have fears. And we are so blessed of the Lord that we have the entirety of his written word for us. And whenever you have fears, how many places can you go where God's word brings truth to the forefront of your mind? And he renews your thinking. And so the psalmist says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The missionary pioneer David Livingstone was in Africa. He was in what was back then, it was a place they called Dark Africa. It was 1856, and there were hostile Africans all around him. And for the first time in David Livingstone's life in Africa, he was tempted to run away in the cover of night from the hostiles that were around him. He wrote these words in his journal, January 14th, 1856. Felt much turmoil of spirit in prospect of having all my plans for the welfare of this great region and this teeming population knocked on by the head of savages tomorrow. But I read that Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. I will not cross furtively tonight as I intended. Should such a man as I flee? Nay, verily, I shall take observations for latitude and longitude tonight, though they be the last. I feel quite calm now, thank God. And I guess like the David whose name he bore, he decided that what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So when I'm in a crisis, I ask, Lord, be merciful to me. And then I cry out, another cry out to the Lord, another request, Lord, be mindful of me. And the psalmist asks the Lord, Lord, would you be mindful of my problems? Oh, beyond my own foolish decision, Lord, let me tell you about my problems and the cause of my problems. Look in your Bible, verse 5 and then verse 6. Every day they wrest or they twist my words. Have you ever had people take what you say and twist it to use it against you? And beside twisting my words, keep reading verse 5. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Have you ever had people that have evil intentions against you? And then he says in verse 6, they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. So here's David living in Gath, and every day there are those who are his enemies and they're plotting against him. They deceptively conspire against him. I've had conversations with people, our people at times, and you know that there are some of our people in church, in our church, that in their workplaces have people that twist their words and have evil intentions against them and deceptively conspire against me. I hope you've never had that happen, but I would guess many of us have, and I can tell you, I know this experience myself. And David says, Lord, would you be mindful? Because here's all the cause of my problems. And then, Lord, would you do something else? Would you help me and be mindful of my question and my problems? And you'll notice what the Bible says in verse 7. So they shall escape by iniquity, shall they escape by iniquity? You might have asked that question. Can I put it this way? How many of you young people, when you think your brother or sister have gotten away with something, you say, are they going to get away with it? You've ever asked that question? That's David's question. Are they going to get away with it? And David makes that same request of the Lord. And then he makes this request in his problems. Keep reading in verse 7. In thine anger, cast down the people, O God. Now, God, they're doing me wrong. And I'm asking that you would do this. I'm asking you to intervene when I cannot and take these enemies and bring them down low. That's a bold prayer. Maybe that's your prayer. You're in a very difficult time and there are enemies about you. And maybe that's the prayer you should pray. So be mindful of my problems. Be mindful of my pain, the psalmist says. Verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? In the ancient world, there are those who would take the tears of mourners and put them into little bottles. They were called, and this is a word that is a great word. And if you're in a spelling bee, maybe you ought to learn this word. They're called lacrimatories. And they're little bottles, and the mourners would have their tears caught in the little bottles, and then those little bottles would be placed in the tomb with the loved one who has passed to show the sadness of the one who has lost the loved one. And David describes it this way. And Lord, you've seen my travels. You've seen where I've been. You've seen my tears. And are you writing this down somewhere? Would you make sure you remember what's going on? And be mindful of it in my problems, in my pain, and in my prayer. And there's a wonderful connection between prayer on earth and God moving from heaven. Look in your Bible, verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. But Lord, whatever happens, keep reading, verse 9. This I know, for God is for me. You see, Lord, You're for me, so would you be mindful of me? And then, Lord, would you be mindful of my praise? And when you read verse 10 and then verse 11, it might be familiar. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Does that seem familiar? It should, because it's the very same words that the psalmist prays in verses 4 and 5. It's sort of like a chorus. He has a verse. You know, we sing a song. You have the verse. And then you sing the chorus. Thanks for the victory. Then you sing another verse. And then there's the chorus. Except there is one change. In verses 4 and 5, when the psalmist writes the chorus to his song, he describes God as, the word is God. It's the Hebrew name Elohim, the God who is powerful, God's creative power. But you'll notice this time in verse 10, the psalmist substitutes the name God, Elohim, with the name Lord, uppercase L-O-R-D. This is the name Jehovah. This is God's promise-keeping name, his covenant-keeping name. So that the psalmist says, God, I'm glad in the midst of my trials that I can count on you as a God that's powerful enough to reach out and help me. But at the same time, I am so glad that you're the God who will always keep your promises. And in the time that I'm in my life, I need every promise I can get. How many of you have been in times like that? I need every promise I can get. Absolutely. So the psalmist, in the midst of this difficult time, says, Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, be mindful of me. And then there's one more request. Lord, be mighty for me. And if you will trust the Lord in your times of crisis, then you, like this psalmist, David, and like others who trust the Lord in the midst of their crisis times, you will share a great testimony of people who find God mighty. A great testimony of people who find God mighty. So look in your Bible, verse 12. In the beginning of verse 13, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Your vows are upon me. The commitments you've made to me and the commitments I've made to you. And Lord, I will praise you. And I love the way he places it, he says it. He says, you have already, verse 13, thou hast delivered my soul from death. And you know God can do that very same thing for you. He can help you in the midst of it all. Now there's a song that we all know and I hope you love that, like this song, ends with a question. What is a song that every one of us know? In fact, you have it memorized. I can promise you, every one of us have it memorized. And it ends in a question. You have an idea what it is? You're running through your database of songs. Do you know what song it is? How many of you have listened to the or watched the Olympics? Who's watched the Olympics? Some a little bit. Okay, watch the Olympics. Every time we win a gold medal, what do they play? The Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem. Did you know that the national anthem is a song? Our national anthem ends in a question? Read it sometime. Go home and sing it tonight. Don't sing it here. Don't sing it here. And sing it and think about it, and you'll find it ends in a question. Well, this song, like our national anthem, ends in a question. It's a great question for people who find God mighty. You'll look in your Bible, verse 13 again. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? This is a great question for people who find God mighty, that God is able to keep you from falling and keep you walking in the light. So I ask the question, when you're in a crisis, what should you ask God? Lord, would you be merciful to me? Lord, would you be mindful of me? Lord, would you be mighty for me? And he will. But now we need to end with this question. When you are in a crisis, what is God asking of you? I'm going to ask you to stand with me with heads bowed.